Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we have the joy of studying one of the great parables of Jesus, the Good Samaritan. It is not only one of Jesus' most famous stories, it is one of the most famous stories told by anyone. It still resonates with people today. Hospitals, nursing homes, shelters are still named after this parable, after the Samaritan who help someone one day on the road to Jericho. The reason it resonates is because, well, it's powerful. And it's powerful because it's told by the greatest teacher of all time, Jesus Christ. There's so much truth contained in this story. We can't possibly talk about everything contained in this parable today. So I'm going to just focus on answering three questions based on this text. The first one, who is my neighbor? The second, who can be justified by the law? And the third one, who is the real Good Samaritan the story refers to? Let's start with the first one. Who is my neighbor? And the answer is everyone with a need. The occasion of the story was when a lawyer, not a trial lawyer, not a defense attorney, not a lawyer like you think of a lawyer, but an expert in the Old Testament law, asked Jesus a question. The question he asked Jesus was, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, as a good Bible-believing Christian, you already know what's wrong with that question. You can't do anything to inherit eternal life. Eternal life is a free gift from God, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, right? Jesus answered, what is written in the law? How do you read it? He answered the question with a question. Then he gives Jesus' own summary of the law back to him. Jesus summarized the law as, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says, that's right. Do that, and you will live. You will have eternal life. Now, of course, doing that perfectly is impossible. Keeping the law perfectly is impossible. We know that, and Jesus knows that. But unfortunately, this man does not realize that yet. We know this because of the next verse. But wanting to justify himself, he asked, who is my neighbor? Now, Jesus, the master teacher, gets straight to the heart of the matter. This man wants to justify himself. He is full of spiritual pride. He believes that he can work his way up to heaven. Jesus is going to show him, through the parable of the Good Samaritan, how it's impossible to be justified by the law. The question he asks is, who is my neighbor? Notice, he wants to know the boundaries, the limits on love. That's what a legalist always does. Legalist always attempts to water down the law, to limit the law. Surely there must be some limit on love. God doesn't really expect me to love everybody, right? I mean, surely God doesn't expect me to love those people. In this man's mind, he probably thought loving his neighbor meant, well, loving his own countrymen, people who were like him, people who spoke the same language, who had the same values, who had the same morals, had the same kind of faith in God as he did. Jesus is going to set him straight. Nope, God wants you to love everybody. Jesus tells a story. He tells the story of a man, a Jewish man, who is traveling to Jericho. He is attacked by robbers, has everything taken from him, and then is left for dead on the side of the road. Now, first a priest, a clergyman, the pastor of his day, on his way to church, the temple, he sees the man, but doesn't want to get involved. He crosses over to the other side. Then a Levite, a lay leader who works in God's temple, also sees the man, hurt and dying and in desperate need of help. But this good temple-going man also walks by on the other side. And then comes a Samaritan. A Samaritan. I don't know for sure, but it's possible that when Jesus even said the word Samaritan, he may have gotten a smattering of boos from the crowd that was gathered around to hear. Jews and Samaritans didn't just have a hard time getting along. They didn't just disagree on a few things. Jews and Samaritans absolutely hated each other. Jews hated Samaritans, and the feelings were mutual. Samaritans hated Jews. No doubt the Jews listened, expecting the Samaritan to be the evil villain of the story. But then comes the shocking twist. Jesus makes the Samaritan the hero of this story. It is the Samaritan who stops and cleans this man's wounds with oil and wine, bandages this man, puts him on his own donkey, takes him to an inn to care for him, and then pays the innkeeper enough to pay his hotel bill for 2 months straight and asks the innkeeper to take care of him. Now comes the punchline, the main point Jesus is going to make. He asked the lawyer, which of these three, the priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan, do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. Do you see what Jesus did there? He changed the man's question. See, the lawyer was asking the wrong question. Instead of asking, who is my neighbor, Jesus changes it to, who can you be a neighbor to? In other words, who needs my help today? Who has a need that I can meet? Jesus answers the question, who is my neighbor, with the answer, everyone with a need is your neighbor. And by the way, everyone with a need is everyone. Everybody has needs. One thing all people have in common is they all have needs. They all have lots of needs. So you might be saying, now this is impossible. I can't possibly meet everyone's needs. And now you're getting it. That's exactly the point. You can't. You cannot meet everyone's needs. You cannot meet the demands of God's holy law. Which brings us to point number two and question number two. Who can be justified by the law? And the answer is no one. This is the point Jesus is making to the lawyer. Remember, he wanted to justify himself, and Jesus shows him this is impossible. What is the law? That's what Jesus asks him. What is the law? You shall love the Lord your God perfectly. You shall love every person on earth. Impossible, isn't it? We can't even love our families perfectly. And those are the people who love us the most. Even in our families, our love runs out pretty quickly. Oh, we try hard. We want to do good, but eventually we get irritated or frustrated or resentful because we didn't get our own way. Now, if we can't even love our families who love us, what hope do we have of loving people that actually hate us or ignore us? No chance at all. You see, we're not as loving as we think we are. We are far more selfish than we realize. This man was forced to admit that he could never have done what the Samaritan did, going out of his way and spending his money and risking his life for the sake of someone who, if he was awake, would have despised him. We all have to realize that our love falls short. Our goodness falls short. Our holiness falls short. Not one of us can be justified by the law. And that's what Paul writes in the book of Romans. Romans 3:20 says, for by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. The law can't save us because we're not good enough to keep it. No one loves everyone perfectly, and certainly no one loves God perfectly with all his heart, soul, strength, and mind. So many times in our own life, instead of giving God first place in our lives, we often put him maybe a distant fourth or seventh, or maybe we don't even think about him at all. Sometimes we give God no place in our lives. You see, we cannot be justified by the law. The law does serve an important purpose. It shows us our problem. It shows us that we are sinners. The law can't cure us, but it can give us an accurate diagnosis of what our condition is. Our problem is sin, and our cure is the gospel. Our problem is sin, and the cure is Jesus Christ. Which brings us to our last point. Who is the real Good Samaritan? You probably already know the answer is going to be Jesus. Who is the Samaritan in the parable Jesus told? Is there someone so good that he would help every person out? Is there someone so loving that he could meet the needs of every single person on earth. Well, there is one. There's only one. Who is the Good Samaritan? Verse 33 gives us the clue. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Oh, did you catch that? It's our favorite word. Guess what Greek word for compassion is used here? It's that favorite Greek word of ours, splenizomai. Splenizomai is where we get our modern word spleen from. And basically, as we've explained more than once, it means gut-wrenching compassion for another person. It doesn't mean just liking a person or just appreciating a person. It means loving someone so much it hurts your gut. Splenizomai, gut-wrenching compassion, is attributed in the Bible almost exclusively to one person and one person alone, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Good Samaritan who has gut-wrenching compassion for those who are in need, for those who are hurting, for those who have been beaten up and left for dead by this world. Who is the beaten up man on the side of the road? Well, that's you and me. We have been attacked by a gang of robbers, not physical human robbers, but the evil trio, the evil gang of the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature. This evil gang attacks us and takes everything from us and leaves us for dead. And in the great compassion of Jesus Christ, he comes to our aid and heals us. Instead of giving us oil and wine for our wounds, he gives us his word and sacraments. Instead of taking us to an inn to heal, he places us in his very own family, the church. And instead of paying the price with a couple of silver coins, he pays for our healing and for our salvation with his very own blood shed on the cross so we can have life, eternal life with him in heaven. Why does Jesus do this? The same reason Jesus does everything. Because of his great splenizomai, his great compassion that he has for all people. Matthew 9:36. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had splenizomai for them, compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus has gut-wrenching compassion for each and every person in this world, for each and every person you meet. But most importantly, you need to know this today. Jesus has gut-wrenching compassion for you. He's not just the Good Samaritan. He is your Good Samaritan, who out of his great compassion helps you, heals you, and gives you everlasting life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.